things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello, friend.
Oh, hello, friend. What going on?
Oh, nothing, just clacking around with my wine.
Whatever's clang-clanging, my phone's vibrating.
Ooh, fun.
Off to a good start today.
How's it going over on your side of the table?
It's going around. How's it going over there?
Good. We have really good wine.
Yes.
A treat to ourselves for hitting one of our milestones.
It's a celebration. We are drinking L'Ale Chantenu de Pape.
Wow, that was very good.
Thank you. It is a ruby red colored aroma of herbs de Provence, saddle leather, spiced red and black fruit, gorgeously textured. This medium-bodied Chantenu du Pape delivers a juicy focus and balanced feel throughout the finish.
Oh, wow. You should be on the Food Network.
I should. I miss my calling as a sommelier. I like to drink too much.
Same.
I'm like three glasses in. I'm like, shit's good, man.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I like
Very
it.
Very jammy.
Plummy.
Really
taste really the taste leather,
leather
in there.
Oh, goodness.
So, yes.
Yeah. What's new? What's going on in your life?
Well, in real world life, it is budget season.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that is currently destroying my will to live, but it's fine.
That sounds like fun.
Listen, talk to me at the end of October and see if I made it.
Okay. I will.
Okay.
Yay.
What about your real life? Anything good?
Yeah, we are getting some of the house painted. So that is going to be done in real world time tomorrow. And my painter is going to be at my house at 6 a.m.
That is so early.
So
that's early for paint fumes.
Yes. But once it's done, that means we can get some flooring in and I can actually start real life unpacking my life. Which is going to be so nice because I hate clutter and I hate living out of boxes and not knowing where anything is. And I also miss my books because those are all still in boxes and I would like to be able to look at them soon.
Whenever I move, my books are the first thing to like get arranged.
Same.
It doesn't feel like a home until your books are there.
Right. And honestly, they take up so much of my space in my boxes that I feel like I can unpack them very quickly because they're easy to put away.
Yeah.
And you get to tear down a bunch of boxes right off the bat and it feels like home. It's just win-win-win.
It's a high dopamine activity.
Absolutely.
So it makes it easy to do.
In a world of whirlwind of stress.
Ooh, in a field of very low dopamine activities.
Right. So I'm excited for all of that to happen and I am purchasing a bunch of stuff on Amazon for my, what I'm calling the lounge, which is a really large bedroom that's upstairs. I had that painted. We're going to have that flooring put in. And I am purchasing just a bunch of like super cozy, comfy furniture, lots of textures. So it's going to feel very like warm and fuzzy in there. And I'm so excited.
You should get like a pink neon light.
I am going to get a bunch of blush stuff because the room is painted like a really dark navy. And
Ew.
Then the flooring is going to be gray.
I love.
Yeah. So I am buying it's an adult bean bag.
Like a love sack?
Yes.
I love those.
It's 6 feet wide.
What?
And it's blush pink. I am so excited.
You know every single one of your cats is going to call dibs on that.
See, I just haven't decided if I'm going to let them in there.
Okay.
They have so much fur.
They do have so much fur.
My entire house is covered in cat hair.
Do you need like one safe space?
I kind of think I do, but I also know myself well enough to know that I'm going to try to read in there and I'm going to be like, you know what would make this really nice?
A cat on your lap.
A cat.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know what this like book sesh is really missing?
Kitty.
Purring.
Yeah. So,
All right. We'll see how long that lasts. We'll keep you updated.
Probably a day. Not if I'm being so, so honest. Yeah. So that is my life right now. And I'm really, really excited for story time today.
This is a good one. It's cults.
Ooh, yeah.
This is, I gotta admit, at the beginning, this was, like, very low on my list. I'm like, not really vibing with it. This particular cult that I found today
is so fun.
Wait, you found it today?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you about it today.
Got it. I was like, girl, you've had this written for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I did. I wrote it a long time ago because I got confused. I thought we were doing cults when we did conspiracy, and now we're actually doing cults, but it's still really exciting.
Jenny and I are doing this thing where we're trying to be in charge of our lives and also planning ahead, and it is creating a lot of very nice feelings because we like to be ahead and like just in case. But it's also creating a lot of confusion because we have a cycle and we're kind of going out of order of the cycle.
It makes us nervous.
So we probably text each other twice a week. What are we doing? Are we recording this week?
When?
What's happening?
Who,
where am I going?
Who am I? Who are you?
What podcast is this?
This is A Little Bit Grim with Jenny and Taylor.
Welcome. You found us. You're 5 minutes in and we hope you haven't left.
Welcome to our cult.
Yeah. Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm into it.
All right. Tell me stories.
Okay. I'm going to. Okay. I'm going to tell you about the Source family. Have you heard?
No.
Okay.
Enlighten me.
They're kind of on the down low.
Okay.
Because they're not like your usual like spaceship, stabby, stabby, drink the Kool-Aid type of commune.
All right. All right.
So one thing that Jim Baker had that other cult leaders did not was timing and, as realtors say, location, location, location.
Oh.
So James Edward Baker was born on July 4th, 1922.
Oh, little independence baby.
Little independence firework boy in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, one of the C's. Do you know where in Ohio Cincinnati is located?
I don't within the state borders. I don't know.
It's south.
Is it?
It's kind of Kentucky.
Okay. Put that in the memory bank and forget about it in 10 minutes.
Thought it might be handy. Obviously.
There's a good chance he wasn't even born in Cincinnati, Ohio. It could be any of the C's.
Yeah, that's true.
Old boy born in Ohio. Although he claimed to have been awarded the Silver Star while serving in the Marine Corps during World War II, the Corps does not carry James Edward Baker's name in its official listing of Silver Star recipients.
Listen, when people start bragging about medals that they have won in the military, that is one whole ass red flag.
Flag on the field, number one. He also claimed to have become an expert in jujitsu.
Oh, no.
He moved to California to become a Hollywood stuntman and was influenced by the Nature Boys, a group based out of the California desert who raise organic food and espoused a back-to-nature lifestyle. Eden Abes, a member of the group, wrote a hit song called Nature Boy, which was recorded in 1947 by Nat King Cole. It popularized the homegrown back-to-nature movement to mainstream America. Eventually, a few of these nature boys, including the famous Gypsy Boots, that's a name of a people, made their way to Northern California in 1967, just in time for the Summer of Love in San Francisco.
Aw, how wholesome.
How wholesome. It's going to get a little less wholesome.
Uh-huh. They always do.
Certainly. So, now back to Baker.
Yes.
He studied philosophy, religion, and esoteric spiritual teachings.
Are those accurate facts? I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. Are those real facts?
Yes.
Okay.
This is real facts.
Okay, this isn't just him saying that I studied all these things.
Oh, no. He studied them. He even became a Vedantic monk for a brief period of time.
Oh.
A monk.
Oh.
Some special brand of monk. More monkier than the rest.
Ah, name brand monk.
Name brand monk. Not some generic on a mountain monk.
No.
He later became a follower of Yogi Bhajan, which is a Sikh spiritual leader and teacher of Kundalini yoga.
Oh.
So, like all good gurus to be, Baker eventually left Bhajan and formed his own religion. And he adopted a more spiritually jazzy name of Father Yod. Father Yod.
I think I've heard of him.
Okay. He's a character. He called his new religion the Source Family, and he opened an organic vegetarian restaurant in Laurel Canyon called what else but the Source. Religion plus natural food plus new bio young servers and colorful robes equaled celebrity cachet in the early 1970s. Marlon Brando, Warren Beatty, Frank Zappa, Julie Christie, and many other old famous people made the Source a hip place to dine. Jim Baker had two other successful restaurants on the Sunset Strip, the Aware Inn and the Old World. Fun fact, there's a famous scene in Woody Allen's Annie Hall in which Alvy begrudgingly orders alfalfa sprouts and mashed yeast while on a trip to L.A., and the setting that was filmed at is the Source Restaurant.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So after leaving Yoga Bahan in the 1960s and creating his own philosophy based on Western mystery tradition after changing his name to Father Yod, he added another name just to keep things a little spicy.
Mm.
So he is also referred to as Yahowah. He became the patriarch of a commune of young people who considered him their spiritual father.
Young people.
Young people.
We have to stop following people that say they're a religious leader.
Can we stop assigning like non-family members like spiritual family member roles? It's just so red flaggy.
It's culty. Rule number one of being a cult is that you have a spiritual leader that has appointed himself as the spiritual leader.
Would you say it's a cult classic?
Oh my God.
Okay. Okay, so this group, known as the Source Family, lived together in a Hollywood Hills house and was supported by the earnings of the Source Restaurant, which grossed $10,000 a day during its peak popularity. That is 1960s money dollars. That is not
a day.
A day, dude. A freaking day.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money for a vegan restaurant in LA.
I mean, it's probably not very much for a vegan restaurant in LA today.
Do you know how much?
I feel like they're probably a dime a dozen.
Well,
but I'm trying to just comprehend how many, like, not even turkey burgers, veggie burgers that they would have had to sell a day.
Turkey burgers?
Turkey burgers is my version of a vegetarian hamburger.
That's how you know we're from the Midwest, when a turkey burger is vegetarian. I can't. Oh my God. Okay. Holy moly. I love that. Okay. In addition to the sex and drugs typical of most communes of that era, Yod also embraced rock and roll.
Of course he did.
Uh-huh. He and his faithful followers formed an ersatz band called Yahuwah 13, which released...
Refill.
ASMR.
I knew it was going to happen.
Mm.
Okay. I should really get myself together and stop it.
This is a fun fact.
Yes.
He and his faithful followers released 9 studio albums.
You're going to laugh really hard when I talk about my story because we have done the same thing. Not the same cult, but my cult is very reminiscent of this.
Is it?
Yeah, I can't wait. Okay. I can't wait to tell
you. I'm excited.
Okay. So nine studio albums. I can't.
They're still very popular today.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What's the band called?
Yahowah 13. You can get them on Spotify. You can find them.
I'm going to tag them in our Instagram post.
Okay. So the recordings are a mixture of an avant-garde acid rock background with Father Yod chanting his wisdom.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. It is exactly what you think it is.
Honestly, if it was 1960 and I would have been around and some cult leader would have been like, I have music and free love, I know for a fact I would have been in.
Oh, you'd be done. Yeah, same. Me too.
100%. Goodbye.
But smell you later.
Yeah, I'm gonna go live on a commune and grow my own corn.
I'm gonna go dance in the desert and eat prickly pear cactus. What do you want from me? Let me blaze my own trail. Okay, so although most of the cult's doctrines were kept secretive, they generally adopted a way of life that promoted natural health, organic vegetarian diets, communal living, and utopian ideals like every other fucking cult.
Blah.
Father Yod had a core communal group of 150 people living in the Hollywood Hills. He, as Father Yod and Yahowah, which is a woman, mm-hmm. had 14 wives plus Yahowah, and 3 actual biological came from him, children that he is like acknowledged. Like, he owns up to that, but there were always kids running around and all of the photos of him and these like beautiful young women, at least like six are always pregnant.
Okay. So he only claimed three of them.
He only claimed three of these children. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm going to name his wives for you right now.
Please do. I'm so ready.
Makushla.
Uh-huh.
Isis.
Okay.
Astral.
Astral?
Astral.
Okay.
Heaven.
Huh?
Prism. Aquariana. Harvest Moon. Galaxy. Lovely. Peralda. Hypatia. Tantalio. Venus. And Robin.
When you were a child, did you ever imagine fake pets and give them fake names?
Hell yeah, I did. I was an only child. I did all kinds of weird shit.
Same. Okay, so I did this, and I was like, I have a horse. Name Starfleet. Something stupid. I don't know. But that is what happened to this dude. He was like, I have wives that I need to name. And he looks up, and he was like, Galaxy.
My favorite is Aquariana.
When you said that, I had, we are the daughters of Triton.
Aquariana, who loves us and named us well.
I'm gonna get copy struck. I don't think they can copyright me with my terrible singing.
Oh my god. Whew. Okay. So despite this like wild assortment of women, he had only one legal wife as James Baker, the cult leader, which was Robin Popper, to whom he was married in 1970, and they had a daughter together named Tau, born August 14th, 1974. Robin said that at the time that they were married, he was a dirty old man on a lust trip.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. So, the funnest of facts.
Ooh.
You're going to love this. Everybody, hold on.
A circus fact.
Hold on to your butts. Neat, 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 neat. Okay. The then 19-year-old Robin Popper was a go-go dancer.
Oh, I love that.
She had turned down Father Yod's advances several times.
Okay.
However, on August 9th, 1969, she chose a yoga class at the Source restaurant over her previous plans, a night at her friend Sharon Tate's house.
Stop it!
That evening, the Manson family took the lives of everyone in Tate's house at 10050 CeeLo Drive.
What the fuck?
Popper decided it must be fate and married Father Yod, making her the first official mother of the Source family. His children were the aforementioned Tau, Buttercup, and Yod, because we have no
Buttercup.
Buttercup. So it is important to clarify again that these were his children from the Source family, quote unquote, quote unquote.
Yeah, yeah.
As with all hippie cult leaders, Big Daddy Yod wasn't all good vibes.
Big Daddy Yod.
The future guru had a family that he ditched for life in show business in Los Angeles, dreaming of becoming the next freaking Tarzan. So, like, before he was a cult leader, he had a whole ass family. He had a whole wife, had a whole kid, and he was like, deuces, I'm going to go be a granola hippie in L.A. to become the next Tarzan.
Tarzan? What does he have to do with any of this?
Tarzan was very fun and fresh. So, there was a Tarzan movie that came out in, I think, in 1934 that was shot at Snook Haven in Florida, in Northport, Florida, that was Tarzan and the Return of the Killer Turtles. And it was shot, listen, I have weird Tarzan knowledge.
I'm impressed right now.
Thank you. Movie fact, the only one I have.
Movie facts.
Movie fact. Okay. So once in L.A., he was accused of ending the life of actress Jean Ingram's husband with a jujitsu chop to the throat. Okay. These are his claims.
Okay. Oh, no. I just remember, like, in high school, like, the nerdiest kid being like, I know jujitsu.
They always knew jujitsu.
I know, and I was like, bro, that's not going to help you against this quarterback.
People who like Dragon Ball Z run through the hallways.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah,
oh, those. It's so painful.
It's the boy version of horse girls. Did y'all have horse girls?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we had hella horse girls.
All of the horse girls in my school were very pretty and popular, though.
Well, that seems pretty on brand.
Yeah.
Our horse girls were absolutely not, and they were all in show choir.
Oh, no. All of my horse girls, like, they were, what Horse Girls wanted to be.
Wow.
It was a bizarre turn of events.
Interesting Northern Indiana teenage social dynamic.
We got Degrassi all up in here.
We got it is so, so specific.
It's so specific that I know the run of the kid in high school that says, I know jujitsu, but he's like a Dragon Ball Z and he's like tall and gangly, but he doesn't want to be tall and gangly. So he runs with like slumped over and makes himself short, but he still has really long legs.
Yeah.
So his stride is really long, but he's like sunken.
Yes. He like crunches himself like a roly-poly.
Yeah.
And he always has, he has a zippered binder underneath his arm.
I had a backpack. In my mind, but a zipper binder also works.
I see. Mine had zipper binders.
Hand doodle binder.
We weren't allowed to have book bags because guns.
Oh.
You could not carry book bags in the hallway.
What?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if... I think we may have had that rule. It just wasn't observed.
Oh, got it.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Fair
enough. Anywho.
Have we covered a school shooting?
No, I have one on my list.
Okay.
And I think you have one on your list, too.
I do, but I haven't had the heart to whip it out.
It's a dark one. It's a dark topic.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
And to, like, do the research that it needs, it can be a little dark and twisty.
Yeah.
But back to Father...
Sorry.
Yod. So, we're so sidetracked. This is going to be the longest episode ever.
I like it. It's going to be zigzaggy.
What? Ooh, hey. Watch out. Okay.
We know jujitsu.
Right. So, he jujitsu chopped this girl's husband in the neck. And was like, yo, I killed him with one single, like, karate chop. And the police were like, no, you fucking didn't. And he was never charged.
No, you fucking didn't.
And he was never charged. Never convicted of the offense.
Okay.
Baker claimed he took another life using the same method before becoming Father Yod. And bragged that he raised the money to open the Source restaurant by holding up banks. Which, no, he fucking didn't.
We gotta stop believing people when they brag about stuff.
Why are we lying about committing crimes? I feel like that's the... But what?
But why?
Why? Okay, so eventually Father Yod amassed around 150, like, religious followers. It's a lot. It's a lot of people. All of whom rid themselves of their houses and belongings to move closer to their earthly spiritual father. And his home above the restaurant. His devotees just so happened to be young, beautiful, and stylish, despite essentially living and working together 24/7. The Source family was very hip. Okay? It is like, they were not, like, cults are frowned upon because they're, like, dirty and living in squalor and da da da. These were not them. Like,
okay.
They had Rolls Royces and he bought a mansion
uh-huh.
in the Hollywood Hills. Everyone was clean. They were well-dressed. They were style icons in a way that members of the Manson family tried to be. Father Yod learned very early on that the secret to success was finding as many young, beautiful women as possible and housing them under one roof. Isn't that every gross man's dream?
I mean, that's what Hugh Hefner did.
It worked out for him. Is he dead?
Yes. Wait.
Wow. Is he?
Yeah.
Is he dead?
I think so. I'll look. I think he recently died.
Get back to me on that.
Yeah, you'll keep going.
In 1972, Father Yod moved 143 disciples into his new home in the Los Feliz foothills, a Gregorian-style mansion that was previously owned by newspaper tycoon Harry Chandler. That is a dated title, a newspaper tycoon. It was built in 1914, and in 2008, it went on the market for a cool $6.8 million.
Wow.
This is where the Source family had its best years. Every possession was communal except for Father Yod stuff. Father Yod stuff. Everyone changed their last names to Aquarian.
Wait, what was the one late girl's name?
Aquariana Aquarian.
I hate it. And also Hugh Hefner is in fact dead.
He is.
He died in 2017.
Oh, that's pretty recent.
Yeah.
He's like 410 years old.
100%.
So... people got to pick their new names as well, which is how the family ended up with members like Electricity, Sunflower, Harvest Moon, Ho, Yavanna, and Olympus. These were not wives. These were just other crazy names that I cherry-picked.
If you had to pick a crazy name, Jenny.
Juniper. Okay. I had it. I've been thinking about it.
Yes. Yeah.
What's your crazy name?
Hurricane.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, bitch.
I like it.
Oh, dang.
They'd be like, watch out. There's a hurricane coming.
Oh, dang old hurricane's on the way in here. Everybody settle down. Stick to the schedule.
Juniper and Hurricane. It's a new name.
I love it. You should edit the bio.
Okay.
Okay. Many of the people from the Source family kept their names and are still
Aquariana. Electricity?
Yes. Still electricity.
I hope she goes by Ella.
I hope she goes by Tricity.
Tris.
What up, Tris? Or Titty. Okay, I'll stop. Okay. Adding to the mystery and appeal, the Source family allegedly was the inspiration for the poster art for Jesus Christ Superstar.
What?
Yes. According to his still active followers, there are not many. Father did not envision that these commandments would supersede or replace the biblical commandments. He started a trend of saying that the commandments he wrote were guidelines more than they were rules. In 1972, he realized, woe mankind, like woman and man and kind, woe mankind.
Okay.
That's what he like referred to the people as.
Okay.
Would need extra help to reach a level of consciousness that would prepare them for the imminent enlightenment. So here are some of the commandments or guidelines.
Oh, please. Yes. Give them to me.
Love your earthly spiritual father more than you love yourself.
What?
Obey and live by the teachings of your earthly spiritual father. Harm not one of your body parts, either by neglect, food, drink, or knife.
Okay.
Allow each vibration to complete its own cycle without interference.
What?
I don't fucking know.
Allow each vibration
to complete its own cycle without interference.
Okay.
Possess nothing you do not need and share all that you have.
No, that's going to be a no for me. I like things.
I mean, I'm the same.
I like baubles.
Only child. I do not share. I'm like a crow.
Yeah.
Yes. Bright, shiny. It's mine. Squander not thy creative force and lust, but come together only when the three vibrations of the physical, the mental, and the emotional are in harmony with spiritual love.
Okay.
They get wilder.
Oh God. All right.
Each morning, join your vibration with the ascending currents of the universal life energy using the keys that your earthly spiritual father has taught you. When these commandments are mastered, leave the house of your earthly spiritual father and do the work of your heavenly father. So, like, when you're enlightened, go die.
Oh. But right. Don't harm yourself.
Don't harm yourself, but go die about it.
Go die.
As cool as these rules or guidelines were, few family members left the house of Yod. Obviously. Very, like, radical way to live. Super groove. It was believed that Father Yod had, Father Yod had magical powers and could talk to God directly, which eventually turned into the belief that Father Yod was God. In the Source family documentary, we see a 16-year-old girl giving birth in Father Yod's home, surrounded by her makeshift family, including her husband, 27-year-old Sunflower Aquarian. The Source family recorded nearly everything they did thanks to the group's documentarian, Isis Aquarian. In the graphic video, the baby arrives stillborn.
Oh, God.
Father Yo takes the baby and begins praying over it, and soon enough, loud cries begin to fill the room. The baby had been revived through the power of Father Yod's prayers.
Here's what we don't need. We don't need miracles to be happening around cult leaders. Medical miracles, regular miracles, we don't need them. It perpetuates the idea that they are a cult.
Yes.
And he's magical.
No, let's leave these miraculous situations to normies.
Yeah.
They're probably the ones who need it most. So around this time, Father Yod changed his name to Yahuwah, like I said earlier, which is a variation of the Hebrew word for God, Yahweh. And eventually 52 freaking babies would be born into the Source family, thus leading to, quote unquote, the birthing rope.
Okay.
It's literally, and you're not going to find it.
Oh, God.
It's a rope that is somehow involved, and they all talk very highly of it, but I could not find any fucking information.
Like, it won't tell you what it is?
No.
It's
I don't know.
It's just a rope.
It's just a birthing rope, and it was a thing that they had. But,
it was, a physical item.
It was a rope that was there to birth, but, no. If anybody finds any more information about that, please let me know.
Right.
Because it drove me crazy for a while.
I bet.
I'm like, what? Did they hog tie her? Did she bite down on it?
Right.
How did they tie people together?
Was it tug of war?
I have no
idea. With pregnant ladies?
I have no idea. Hmm. Did they tie it around the baby's ankle and yank it out like a loose tooth? What? I don't know what they could have possibly.
I'm pretty sure babies aren't supposed to come out feet first.
Don't they? No.
No.
Okay.
Head first.
I'm very far removed. This is... Okay. So all seemed groovy until Father Yod became increasingly paranoid around 1974 when natural treatment of whatever ailed one of his minions failed and a Source baby had to be taken to a local hospital due to a severe staph infection. In anticipation of the man swooping down on his kingdom to investigate the possibly unsafe environment in which children were being raised, more than 100 people in the mansion, which, okay, it's a mansion, fine, but, 100 freaking people.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. 52 babies had been born, somehow involving a rope.
Ooh, right. That's too many humans.
So Yod moved his family to Hawaii.
Oh.
Yes. He was just bye. However, the locals weren't too happy about this creepy sect of white people moving onto their turf and trying to take their jobs.
Yeah.
Despite their supposed fortune, the trip to Hawaii nearly bankrupted the Source family, due in part to Father Yod's insistence that they buy a private plane and a boat for their island life.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Things quickly grew desperate, and Father Yod instructed his male disciples to trim their hair and beards and find jobs as soon as possible. Meanwhile, Father Yod became more detached from reality, indulging in grand delusions of his own godliness before veering into rage and frustration over not being welcomed with open arms to their supposed paradise. The locals, for their part, believed the group would follow in the footsteps of other American cults like the Manson family and the People's Temple. Father Yod also believed the government was coming after him either for his underage marriages or shady tax dealings. On August 5th, 1979, Father Yod decided to de-stress with a little hang gliding mission. The only issue, which several family members brought up, was that Yod had never tried hang gliding before, but God should be able to figure out how to fly, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So before leaving that morning, Father Yod allegedly told his wife that her black dress was appropriate, lending credence to the idea that maybe the trip was always supposed to end tragically.
Oh, okay.
Many of the family members went up a 13,000-foot cliff with Father Yod, and there is video of him attempting takeoff.
Oh, God.
In the footage, the old man can be seen leaping into the air and immediately falling out of the sky like a rock. Father Yod landed on a beach, and when the followers reached their guru, he was still alive but unable to move. After the accident, the Source family gathered around Father Yod and asked what they should do, and he yelled, "Transmute my pain." Since the majority of family members were barely old enough to drink, this led to some confusion. The group stood around, alternatingly wailing and chanting, "Transmute the pain! Transmute the pain!"
Oh, God.
Even though his body showed no outward signs of damage, Father Yod was unable to move and had to be carried home. During that time, members debated bringing their guru to a hospital, but were dissuaded when another member pointed out that their religion doesn't believe in hospitals.
Oh, whoops, forgot.
Right. So Father Yod passed 9 days later.
Oh, I bet he was in so much pain.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Ugh.
Sure he was.
So when was that, 1979?
1979.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Ugh.
So in 2006, two source family members, Isis Aquarian and Electricity Aquarian, wrote the history of the religious group, a revised version of the book entitled The Source, The Untold Story of Father Yod, Yahowah 13, and the Source Family. It was released in 2007 by Process Media and included a CD with live Yahowah 13 performances, radio interviews, and family recordings. The Source Foundation was set up at www.yahowah.org and released Lost Family Music through Drag City Records, Father's Morning Meditation Tapes through Global Recording Artist, a comic book, and The Source Family in 2012, co-directed by Jody Weil and Maria Demopopoulos.
Demopopoulos,
because no one was physically injured other than the baby that they didn't take to the hospital and Father Yod himself and, like, also the statutory rapes, but, like, blah. The cult can be remembered kind of fondly if you squint your eyes and stay far away.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for that.
It's a wild ride. The 60s and 70s, dude. Like, I really feel like I missed my opportunity to be a burnout acid trip loser in a van in the desert.
I am with you. I would have been so happy to just, like, hang around in my flowy dress and have, like, the longest hair imaginable.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, I'm going to go tend to the garden and
I'm going to shower in the creek.
And yeah, that would have been the life. Yeah. I'm not condoning a cult, but.
But the lifestyle, I can super get behind.
Yeah, and that's really the dangerous part. We can never go to anyone that we might think could possibly be a cult in the future.
I'd get sucked in. Who do you think would be sucked in first? Because we're both getting sucked in.
Yeah. I feel like, okay, here's how it's going to go. I'm going to say I'm going to be the one to find the cult, and I'm going to be like, I want to go. Let's go together. And I'm going to be like, I vetted it. It's chill, dude. Mm-hmm. Let's go. And then we're going to go. And then you're going to be the one that's like, we stay here forever. And I'm like, bitch, I'm not leaving you.
So, yes.
So then we both stay. That's what's going to happen.
And that's how the movie Midsommar was made.
Ah, yeah. All right. Are you ready for my wild ride of a cult?
I'm so excited. I'm excited to hear the similarities. Is it still pretty similar?
It is pretty similar. There's, I think maybe a similar couple of, like, events, but overall the theme is not 100%.
Okay.
So I got to give a shout out to my husband because he found this cult for me. And
good job, Ryan.
Yeah, and he he's not he doesn't have the murder brain, as he calls it, so he's not super.
Is that what he calls us?
Yeah,
murder brain. Cool. All right.
Uh-huh. So on my birthday I got to watch murder shows. So
okay.
Murder brain,
got it.
But he found this call and he sent it to me, and I've had it for maybe, I don't know, like 4 or 5 weeks now, and every 3 or 4 days he'd be like, did you look up that cult yet? And I was like, no, I haven't. It's not cult week.
It's not cult week, Ryan.
I know. But he said that this would be the first episode that he listens to all the way through.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm appalled.
Well, he got subjected to our last folklore episode because I edited it while I was putting my groceries away and stuff. Sure. So I had it playing in the living room.
Yeah.
And our house is still a mess, so he doesn't have anywhere else to go.
Ha ha.
Ha.
Ha. It was a good episode.
Yeah, he said he thought that we were funny, and I was like, I'm glad that you know that 12 years now. 12 years in.
But we've been funny this whole time, bud.
Right. You're just now catching on? You late.
Right. Slow. Come on.
All right. So, this is it is a cult. It is very recent. So, unfortunately, there are gaps in the story.
Okay.
Because it is also from Brazil.
Oh.
And because of, do you know it?
I got chills. I got chills because I almost did this cult.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
is it?
Oh, no.
I'm trying to, like, charades. Is it, like,
I don't think so. There wasn't a.
And she's like.
No.
She's
like, Wrong.
Okay.
No.
Got it. Never mind.
She just tried to do so many charades.
We should live stream
which
this.
Which really works very well for a thing that you listen to.
People just heard heavy breathing.
Okay, so this is very recent. There's not a whole lot. There is gaps in the story, and it's from Brazil. So I had to use Google Translate for a lot of the news articles because it has not reached a global level yet. It is really not being talked about anywhere else other than Brazil.
Okay.
So I found a Brazilian YouTuber and I used some of her stuff.
Like closed caption?
She actually speaks in English for this episode of hers. All of the rest of her videos are in
Spanish.
Portuguese,
yeah. The national language of Brazil.
And she said that she was going to do this video in English because she thought it deserved more, global attention.
Sure.
So I was very grateful for that. Thank you, Bianca.
Ooh, I love that name.
I do too. She's beautiful. So I got some information from a lot of YouTube, honestly. Viv So on YouTube, Bibi TX on YouTube, which is, I think her name is Bianca. Murder News, a website called istoc.com, and then two separate Reddit articles.
Ooh, I love shit from Reddit.
Yeah, so not a whole lot of actual full credited sources here.
Okay.
I did find one on the Washington Post, but it was very short.
Okay.
This is the story of Flordelis de Sousa. So, Flordelis was born February 5th, 1961, in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Okay.
When Flordelis was 14, both her brother and her father were killed in a car accident, and her parents were evangelical Christians that taught Flordelis the importance of spreading the word of God. Really great start. She spent a lot of time in the church and found solace in singing gospel after her father and brother died. And then we basically skip right onto her 20s. There's not a lot to know about her and her childhood.
Okay.
So in her 20s, she married and had a few children. Unfortunately, I don't know the exact number, but it was 3 or 4. Most of my sources said 3, although a couple of them did say 4.
Okay.
And then her husband abandoned her in the late 80s.
Ooh.
Yeah. And left her with her 3 children.
Okay.
So by 1991, she had adopted a few more children. Is this it?
This is what I thought it was.
Okay, yes, okay.
Okay.
All right. Oh, God. So she adopted a few more. I think it was 5. And these children would later be called the A kids. Keep that in mind for later.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Okay, one of these children was Anderson de Camo, and Flordelis adopted him when he was 14. Anderson began dating one of Flordelis's biological daughters by the name of Simone. So, teenage
step. Help step bro, I'm in the washing machine.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was so inappropriate.
In Flordelis's professional career, she was becoming well-known in the evangelical scene and was singing regularly in choirs. She became a pastor and her reputation was spotless. She was well-respected, well-liked, and people thought that she was truly a good, godly woman. And then Anderson grew up and broke up with Simone so that he could date and eventually marry Flordelis.
What?
This man.
His stepmama?
Married his stepmom and ex-mother-in-law.
I even know this story and it's still appalling.
They got married. Yikes. Yes. They got married in 1998 when he would have been 21-ish.
Okay.
And then it just gets weirder.
That's yuck.
Yeah. There was a lot of speculation around Flordelis, Anderson, and Simone. People near and dear to the family and people other than family members would say that the three of them would spend a lot of time together. And some family members said that they slept in the same bedroom together and would come out of the bedroom in only towels. All three of them.
Ew.
Yuck. And they visited swingers clubs regularly.
That's the grossest group sex I can think of. Blech. Name one grosser group sex. You can't. It's disgusting.
I might go so far as to say Manson. And his group sex would be very weird.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Maybe not weirder, but also weird.
But not a lot of showers there happening.
Yeah. Ooh, UTIs.
Oh, hell no.
I'm out.
There's not enough azo in the world.
Nope. So after they got married, there was an incident at a station. One source said that there was a killing spree, but I was not able to confirm this. And from that incident, 37 children were sent to go live with Flordelis. She and Anderson ended up adopting all 37 children.
For the love of the Dark Lord.
So later, they would adopt even more children, and they would have a grand total of 55.
I just imagine, like, an Olive Garden waiter shredding parm that's like, say when, say when, say when!
Children!
More babies!
No! Oh, this is my worst nightmare. too many babies. So she adopted children who were homeless or living in horrible conditions, and the rest of the children that were not the A kids were known as the B kids.
Ooh, sucks to be on that B team.
Let's not label groups of children.
Let's not label groups.
That's true. That's fair. Solid,
that's a good umbrella rule.
Yeah, let's do that. So Anderson and Fleur-de-Lis built a 10-bedroom home to accommodate everyone, and I'm still saying that that's not enough bedrooms.
10-bedroom? Do they have 38 kids minimum?
At this point, they have 55.
Okay, that's...
Occupancy standards, bud.
That's five heartbeats per room, and that is far too many.
Two heads per bed.
Two heads plus one heartbeat per bed.
Yeah.
58 ain't gonna work. Honey bunch.
Nope. Anderson had also become a pastor and was joining his wife on her evangelical mission to spread the word of God through spoken word and song. Fleur-de-Lis launched as a gospel singer and eventually released albums.
Ah, there it is. Yay!
That and a shit ton of children.
Gross.
In 2009, there was a film made to tell Fleur-de-Lis' story, and it was called Fleur-de-Lis, One Word to Change.
Ugh.
It was chock full of Brazil's top names in acting, and all of these actors refused to be paid for their work in the film.
Like it was charity?
Yes.
So she was like respected, like put some respect on it.
Yeah. And all of the money made from the film went back to Fleur-de-Lis to raise all of her 55 children.
Oh.
Yeah. But that just goes to show how much influence she had in this culture, because people just thought that she was like God's gift to people, and she was like the next Mother Teresa.
I'm so sorry. I have a very small detail that my brain cannot get over until we discuss it.
Okay.
How the hell do you grocery shop for 58 people? How many rotisserie chickens are you buying a week? I gotta know.
How many gallons of milk?
How much rice?
Too many.
Too many. What bread? What's the bread sitch?
So I think that there were a lot of these children that were grown. So there was like a wide range of ages. So I think that a lot, like the A kids, would be tasked with some of these things.
The only way that I think that you can reasonably feed 58 people is soup. I'm sorry. I don't know
any old pot.
A cauldron.
Yeah.
A vat. I don't know what else you're doing.
You gotta rent like a cafeteria kitchen.
Yeah. Maybe oatmeal for breakfast. I don't know.
Ooh, that's too much.
Too much.
So there were rumors, and these are rumors, these are unsubstantiated as of right now, that Fleur-de-Lis was kidnapping these children and using them to promote her own good image, but these rumors only helped her to maintain her image of goodness and godliness, and the people of Rio de Janeiro continued to adore her.
Gross.
Fleur-de-Lis also launched her political career in 2016.
Why did they always get into politics?
Because they have to be in charge of shit.
I hate it so much.
So she attempted to run for office in 2004, but was unsuccessful. In 2016, she was successful and was elected as a congresswoman and as a member of the public prosecution office. This woman had over 200,000 votes. That's a lot. Now, one of her children would later claim that the B kids were treated much differently than the A kids. He also said that the family operated more like a cult.
Yeah.
From a religious cult to a sex cult. It was all bad.
Those are the worst ones.
Yeah. So they only ate bread, raw veggies, and rice for food for pretty much their entire lives.
No freaking soup.
Until 2020.
Wow.
They had to write psalms in their own blood.
What?
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm getting like Dolores Umbridge vibes.
Not good.
Uh-uh.
Secret rituals involving nudity
Ew.
And the adopted children would have to have sex with Fleur-de-Lis in order to purify themselves from the outside world in order to be welcomed into the family.
I'm so sorry. That is fucking foul.
Yes.
Ew. So twisted.
Right.
So these people in the name of God, like abusing hundreds of people.
Oh my God.
It makes me violently ill.
And these children had nowhere else to go. This was the woman that was taking them in. This was their shelter. This was their home. It might not have been much, but at least it was food. At least it was guaranteed, where a lot of these children were coming off the streets.
Yeah, but like if they were like, what if they were kidnapped from a village and like they had a family and it's human trafficking.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, they definitely could have been kidnapped. We don't know that for sure yet, but that's definitely a possibility. A different witness from inside the house said that Fleur-de-Lis offered one of her daughters up for sex to another religious leader. So what was the catalyst that brought all this nastiness out into the open, you ask?
I do ask.
I'm glad
Taylor,
you asked.
What is the nastiness that brings all of this catalyst out into the open?
I just saw you peek.
Catalyst that brought all this nastiness out into the open.
That's it.
Word salad.
The words were all there, just in the right
order. The wrong order is a fucking jamble.
I can't. Okay. Oh, God. Okay. So, Anderson was found dead in the garage of their home on June
16th, 2019. So recent.
So recent.
Okay.
He had been shot 30 times.
30?
30.
One by each kid?
3-0. Yeah.
Okay.
So the first statement made by Fleur-de-Lis said that they were followed home that evening for some time by a couple of motorcycles.
Ew.
When they got home, Anderson went back out into the garage to bring something into the house when the family heard gunshots. However, later in the official statement, Fleur-de-Lis said that it was a robbery gone wrong and that Anderson died, and I quote, protecting his family.
Oh my God.
The police pretty much threw out both of these theories and said that the 30 shots would have been unlikely in a robbery.
No shit.
And they were very suspicious of the cell phone that was nowhere to be found.
Super sus.
Not good. You don't take shit. Leave evidence.
Y'all don't know how to stage a crime scene, and it shows.
Right, and then you're going to go get arrested, and then you're not going to shut up.
No.
Because you don't listen to us. We keep telling you, and you don't listen.
What's rule number one when you get arrested?
Shut up.
Shut up.
So, the police launched a full investigation that would lead them down an entirely different path. They found out quickly that Anderson had wanted a divorce. Fleur-de-Lis told one of her daughters that this would be an affront to God if she were to get a divorce, and she was not willing to separate.
Mm.
So, obviously, the next best choice is to kill him.
Duh.
Duh. You know, like, murder's not an affront to God.
Do you know what God only hates slightly less than divorce?
Murder.
Murder.
Just a little...
Murder.
A little side of murder. Slice.
God.
The couple... there were a couple of reasons for the tension between Fleur-de-Lis and Anderson that would warrant a divorce. Anderson was in charge of the family's finances, and some of the family was resentful of that and did not like the control that he had over them. In some cases, the adopted siblings just didn't like Anderson at all. If they were to divorce, Fleur-de-Lis would have to split her finances with Anderson, and she did not want to do that for sure.
Well, how is she going to support her 67,000 children?
No kidding. Anderson blocked Fleur-de-Lis's poor treatment of the B kids, and she wanted to have all the control over her family, so Anderson was trying to even out the treatment. Now, the investigation had been launched, and a bunch of incriminating evidence came out, such as text messages between Fleur-de-Lis and her children, saying things like, "We need to get rid of this man."
Okay. Wow.
Dingling.
What you type stays around for forever.
But you can't erase the internet.
No.
You can't erase text messages.
He's always watching
always
you.
There. So there were a few other things that came to light. So the shooting was not the first time Anderson nearly died. There had been multiple trips to the ER when Anderson began experiencing diarrhea, vomiting, chills, etc.
Arsenic.
Turns out that Fleur-de-Lis and two of the daughters had been poisoning Anderson since 2018, and they had been putting it into his meals And they did this up to 6 times. But he didn't die.
Y'all just really can't figure out your dosage, can you?
No.
Nope.
If you're trying to kill somebody, just like...
Do it.
Why are you trying to be... Just... Oh, for peace sake.
Poison is not the way. Not like we're giving out hints or helpful tips and tricks.
That's true.
But I just feel like poisoning is not the way. It's not the way.
Poisoning is a very female, like, tactic, though.
It's keeping your hands clean. Mm-hmm. It's not being at the scene of the crime. But, like, they always track you. I don't know one person who's got away with poison.
You don't know a single person. Weird.
Okay. That was a dumb fucking sentence.
I don't know one single person
who's gotten away with poison murder.
People don't just show up at your office and be like, guess what I did this weekend?
I poisoned my husband.
Got away with murder. See?
And you're next.
Okay. And your little dog, too. Jesus Christ. Okay. So Florida police also tried and failed to hire a hitman.
Oh.
Before shooting him in June.
She is so bad at murdering.
Not good. So Simone admitted to the following Google searches. Copper cyanide, where to buy. Murder online, where to find. Poison to kill people, legal and easy.
Bro!
Someone criminal, where to find online.
I'm surprised Google themselves didn't, like, call the police.
Be like, guys, we got a problem.
Somebody come get her.
She's about to kill her husband.
I bet Simone was so excited to kill this douchebag.
I know what
left her for her mother.
She was like, goodbye. She probably didn't poison him enough on purpose.
Or right, just to like prolong the suffering.
Oh, for sure. So, oh God. There are so many people involved. The day after Anderson's murder, Flordelisa's son and Anderson's stepson, Flavio, was arrested for his possible involvement in Anderson's death.
Flavio.
He also said he also had a separate warrant out for his arrest for a domestic violence dispute. Dispute? A domestic violence event.
Altercation.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Event.
Event.
White tie.
The next day, the police found the murder weapon in the house, and Flavio admitted to shooting 6 times, but also implicated his younger brother, Lucas, in the murder as well. Flavio said that Lucas was the one that purchased the gun.
Oh, really throwing him under the bus, bud.
Right? Like, you're going down with me. So finally, a few days later, another brother stepped forward to give yet another version of the story. He was in the house the night the crime happened, and he told police that he did not hear any motorcycles that night. He came down to the garage to see Flavio covered in blood next to Anderson's body. Flavio then took Anderson's phone and gave it to Flordelise. He also said that at least 3 of the sisters were involved as well. One of them even offered his brother, Lucas, money to execute the killing.
Christ almighty!
Too many hands in the pot.
Listen, you got too many cooks in the kitchen. Spoils the soup!
Just a mess.
A freaking mess.
Flavio and Lucas were both indicted on murder charges in August of 2019, but the police had a feeling that this was not the end of the story.
Oh, yeah? So, was that their keen gut instinct?
Yep. And then they launched part 2 of their investigation shortly after Lucas and Flavio were arrested.
Murder part 2, electric boogaloo.
Electric boogaloo. After the second police operation, 9 more people were arrested. 6 of the couple's sons, 1 of their granddaughters, and 2 of the couple's close friends.
They had to get an extra van.
Right. So in this, in my research, I found something about like a letter that got sent to somebody in jail that was like blackmail or something. And it was so convoluted, I could not figure out the full storyline. But these people were arrested on charges of forging this letter or planning the hit, poisoning him, or trying to hire someone else to murder him. At the end of August of this year, 2020, Flordelise is officially accused of Anderson's murder. Now, listen to this utter crap.
Okay.
So, As of today, Flordelisa is still free, despite being accused of being the mastermind behind Anderson's murder and the leader of a particularly heinous religious sex cult. Because she's a congresswoman, she has parliamentary immunity.
What?
Yes.
Ew, it sounds so USA for Brazil.
I know. The police have written a strongly worded letter to the government to try to get her immunity taken away. But as of today, this woman is still free.
The government's like, nah, she's cool.
She's chill. Copacetic.
She's one of us. She's got, listen, she's got like office hours in the morning and she just like doesn't have it.
We got it's, things to do.
It's budget season, y'all.
All hands on deck.
All hands on deck. We got to figure it out. There's a deficit.
Right. She's got a new album coming out. Like,
I cannot. What in the world?
So that is the family cult of Flordelisa de Sousa.
I'm so glad that you dug into that. Because I want you to know my knowledge about it was a 60-second TikTok video of this person like, you will not believe the Brazil political drama happening right now. And they're like, I know America is like very tied up and like their own bullshit, but listen to this. A congresswoman was running a sex cult and she also is an evangelical TV preacher and she's going to jail. And I was like, that's wild.
Oh, yeah. I went down many rabbit holes. This was probably one of the hardest ones that I've ever had to research because it was so many articles in Portuguese that I then had to translate into English.
Ooh.
And there were a lot of pronouns that didn't come over correctly.
Uh-huh.
So like the she and he's were flip-flopped.
We're just taking our best
guess.
And
I was like, ooh. So I hope that I got a lot of those facts right. I'm going to say I probably got 92 of them right.
Do we have a listener in Brazil?
Oh, I don't know. If you listen to us in Brazil, send us a message. Send us a DM.
We got to know the deets. Keep us posted.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Keep us posted. I'm going to try to keep an eye on this one, but it has not made it anywhere near our United States.
Listen, I hate to say it, but like we've got our plate. We don't have enough spoons for Brazil in their drama.
Our plate's full.
Our plate is full. Our president is like trying to say that he's not going to pass over power peacefully. There's a whole thing.
Yeah, we're SOS.
The Constitution is like all made up and the points don't matter. Like, we don't know what's happening.
I watched a TikTok this morning that there was this like adorable little British man that was like, USA, I know that your shit is crazy right now, but he went through this whole thing about how the UN and other governments have like fail safes for other governments that are falling. And he was like, don't worry, we got you. We got your back. If shit goes pear-shaped, the rest of the world will come to your aid. And I was like,
will they though?
I literally like watched it and I got full body goosebumps and there's a very large part of me that thinks we're actually screwed.
Yeah, I think we're actually screwed as well.
But it was the first glimmer of hope that I thought that maybe some of the world would know that the rest of America is not on board with this. And we need help.
Can somebody come pick him up?
We can't travel anywhere.
No, they all blocked us.
I know. It makes me feel claustrophobic a little. It's fine.
I think we can go to Mexico.
Okay.
Right now. I know we can go to the Bahamas.
Okay. At least it's pretty there.
It's pretty. It's warm. It gets very crowded with all of America and the island.
I love America. We're all trying to go to the Bahamas.
Not for a vacation. There's no bottomless Mai Tais.
Oh, no.
Like, on a very serious note, though, I am very scared. And I think that that is probably a sentiment that especially a lot of the demographic that listens to us.
Yes.
Probably very much shares.
100%.
And it's all the more reason to go and register to vote.
Please do.
And if you know one person who is not registered to vote, like ask your friends if they're registered to vote.
Absolutely.
I just asked one of my coworkers a couple days ago. I was like, are you going to vote? And she was like, I've never voted before. I'm not even registered to vote. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, let's get you registered. So yeah. We just, on company time, got her registered to vote. And she's going to go vote in her first election.
And ask your HR department what your policy is on voting day.
Yep.
And I feel very happy and proud because today I feel like I had a huge win for my company because I texted my boss the day and I travel for work and the rest of my team travels for work. Mm-hmm. And I said, what is the likelihood of us putting a travel block on November 3rd? Mm-hmm. Because it's a Tuesday and that's most of when middle I of the travel week. Is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know. Great idea. Let me ask. So he asked the director of HR and she gave the okay for all of us to be local so we could vote that day. And then we had another conversation about what is our policy on voting day as far as if you can't vote outside of work hours. And it was a good conversation. Everybody should be asking your HR department what your policy is and what's expected of you, so you can go out and vote on voting day. Take snacks, take an umbrella.
Take a friend,
take a mask, be safe, go vote.
Early vote.
Yeah.
You can go early vote right now. I'm planning on going on the 14th. Miss the craziness, but yes. Thank you. If anything is going to inspire you to vote, it is a cult episode.
That's true.
Please go vote. Enjoy your day.
And we love you a lot. Go be safe and treat each other kindly.
Thank you.
Wait. Our bright shiny. We were both like giving each other the eyes.
Sign off.
Do you know what your bright shiny is?
My bright and shiny is the fact that tonight in the real world is going to be the first frost of the season.
Ah!
My heart and soul feels like it is awaking, like from a long hibernation, ready to devour the world and suck the sun out of the sky. I am coming into my truest form of cold winter bad bitch energy.
I love this for you. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Ah!
What's yours?
Tomorrow, me and two of my other gal pals are all piecing out of work, and we are going to go down to Indy, have a little girls' day, and then we're going to go on a haunted hayride.
Oh, I love that!
And I'm so excited. We're going to be, like, the, like, most basic bitches ever, because we've already decided we're stopping for Starbucks on our way, we might go to IKEA, and then we're going to go to the mall, and then we're going to go on a haunted hayride.
I love this so much for you guys.
I'm happy.
Can we, like, stop shaming girls for liking fall shit?
Let's just stop shaming girls. Let people like their shit.
Let's stop shaming and let people enjoy their shit. I'm also guilty because I a little bit shamed horse girls earlier. That's not what I was trying to do. I'm sure they all grew up to be beautiful humans.
That's true.
As well as the Dragon Ball Z boys. These are our software engineers and I appreciate them very much.
Yes. And high school was a different time. And I'm going to stand by probably shaming everybody that I went to high school with as your high school self. Most of you are lovely humans as adults. High school Correct. Was rough for all of us. I shame myself in high school. I was garbage.
I also was a trash human in high school. I think we all were because nobody really had real life experience. And that's okay. That's Let true. Yourself make mistakes.
Yeah.
Let's grow from them.
Absolutely.
And also allow others the same grace.
Yeah. If you remember me from high school, please don't.
I don't think I have any high school people who listen to this because I like really got alienated. I went through like a phase in like 23 and they were like, I'm out.
Ow.
I'm out.
I know that there are people from my high school who listen to this that I wasn't particularly like friends with in high school, but we knew each other well. It was great.
Like, you had a high school of like 25 people.
This is true. They're all lovely people. I look back at myself at like 15 and I'm like, oh God. Please don't remember that.
It mentally
I'm so sorry.
Exhausts me to think that I was perceived at age 17. Stop perceiving me then.
Don't do that.
That is not me.
No.
So, do something kind for a stranger today. Don't join a cult. Go vote.
That's our best advice to you.
That's all we have.
Goodbye!